You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
The message tonight is this: what if Jesus walked in? 5 o'clock the other morning, I was asleep, and I had a visitation, a real visitation from God. And he said to me, what would happen when you were preaching or you were in a service if Jesus, in fact, in the body walked in? Now, we're comfortable with this at Christmas. He's the Jesus in the manger. And that question begs this: if everything was going so great, why did he have to send Jesus? The reason he had to send Jesus to earth is we weren't getting it right. Jesus stands up, you remember in Luke 4, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do all of these things. Well, they've been trying to do those things for 700 years. And they couldn't do it. And Jesus walks in and everything's accomplished in one day. Did you hear what I just said? How would our worship be different if Jesus walked in? If Jesus walked in. Continue on. I don't want to talk about the Jesus in the manger. I want to talk about this Jesus. This fully mature Jesus that not only is in us, go another one, but he's with us. That every time we pray for the sick, it's not just us praying. Okay, let me show you. Come here. Come here, Marco. This probably is the most like Christ in his life man I've ever met in my life. Okay, Pastor Josh, Pastor Corinne, come. The word of God is clear when it says, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. No, this is not symbolism. This is not figuratively speaking. This is the fact: when you pray, he shows up. No, I'm talking about Jesus shows up. How could I possibly ever worry or be concerned about anything if Jesus, in fact, walks in? Okay. So we see, thank you. So we see, every 15 minutes, he would keep giving me more of this revelation about when Jesus walked in. Jesus, we know, because we know that the Bible is what? A series of patterns and principles. We understand that just as soon as Jesus goes to hell, takes the keys of death, hell, and the grave, what does he do? He shows up at the tomb and he starts by showing himself to two women. Then the doors are locked. And Jesus so much wants to walk with you and wants to talk with you, he goes through the wall. And he just shows up. And he goes, guys, I just want to tell you, I'm here with you. This is after his death. I understand the scripture says he's held in the heavenlies until. But that's what he's talking about coming back at the last day and the last victory. But I'm here to tell you, like the song says, and he walks with me, and he with me, and he tells me. Javi, come here. Jesus, this. This is what Jesus wants to do with you every day. You know why you don't see him? You're not looking for him. I used to get so upset. Every day, Sunday we go, yeah, and I saw angels again today. And I would go, for the love of all that's good and holy, why don't I ever see an angel? And God said to me, because you're not looking for him. Because it says, howbeit sometimes you entertain angels. Oh, you know the scripture. We know the scripture. But there's this breakdown somehow. Go another picture. That this guy is not involved in our lives every day. You know this, Robert, because you worked for him. T.L. Osborne, ministry was an absolute failure, right? In the beginning, he was not. There was no healings. There were no crowds. He was just, he and Daisy, he's in a room, I believe it was in Seattle. And what happened? Jesus walked in the room. And one touch from Jesus in the room, face to face, he's healed more people on this earth than any man in history. It's nothing for him in Africa to have 300,000, half a million people, and there be a mountain of wheelchairs. 80 people that were blind would see. Dead being raised to life was just an average thing that happened. What happened? What is going to happen tonight? You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to provoke you to a manifestation. Turn to somebody and just push them on the shoulder like this and say, I want to provoke you to see Jesus. To see Jesus. This man, come on, give me another picture. This man, I love this. This man, he shows up in his home church and the Bible says he could do no mighty things. You know why? Because they didn't see the Messiah. They saw a carpenter. And so many times when I saw my little, what's my little baby's name in the red dress tonight? She was so beautiful. It was so sweet. And Naira, are you in here or are you out? Okay, she's out. Every Sunday, tell me if this is not true. Every Sunday, she would always come up when she was a little grown up, 5, 6, 7. She would draw me a picture with me in it and her in it. Raise up a child. How do you raise up a child where they become like this? Like Lexus, like this. It's because you teach them to walk with Jesus. You don't wait till they're big. You don't wait till they're big. We tell them at this age, Jesus can visit you any night. Did you know that? He can show up in your room any night. When you pray, he hears every word you pray. Did you know that? And when you're at school and you need Jesus and you say, call upon his name, and what? He shows up. He shows up. Why is it that children have no problem believing this stuff? That's why the Bible says you must have childlike faith. Because we grow up, D. I came in the back door and I thought there was like a teenager back where they didn't belong. And I said, hey, I don't think you're supposed to be back here. It was D. I said, no, I'm sorry, D. You look so good, my God. Okay. Jesus. Genesis 28th chapter, verses 10 through 12, we see this story. Lay down, Christian, on the ground. Jacob lays down. Now, we're talking about a man who was a scoundrel. He was a schemer. He deceived his father on his deathbed, scheming with his mother to defraud his brother of his inheritance. Everybody just say, this is a bad man. But one encounter. Now, what happened? What happened? What happened? This is the story of Jacob's ladder. The Bible says there was a ladder that went all the way to heaven. At the top of the ladder was God. And what was coming up and down, ascending and descending? What were they? Angels. Angel means what? Messenger. Messenger. Who was the greatest messenger of all time? Jesus. Revelation 10, and I saw a great angel, that is speaking of Jesus. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming from heaven to your house every day. When you lay your head down on the pillow tonight, I need you to pray and say, Jesus, visit me in my dreams. He came to earth that you might have life and have it. How is that possible? It's possible because Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. We see that two men are walking down a road. Robert, they're walking down a road and they are so sad. They're so sad. They're weeping. They're weeping because they're so caught up with what used to be, they cannot understand that Jesus walked into their life. Jesus walks up and says, "Fellas, what's wrong?" They're enraged. They say, "Where have you been? What are you talking about? Don't you know this Jesus?" They're saying this to Jesus because grieving distorts your perception. And you will never see what's right in front of you, which is Jesus, as long as you're the man who looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And they said, this Jesus who did all of these things. And Jesus said, "Listen, I want you guys to go with me. I want you to go with me." And they started pulling back. And they said, "No, Jesus, we don't want to go with you. We want you to go with us." Jesus won't stay with you long if he's not leading. Jesus will not stay with you long if he's not leading. They said, no, come to our house and sit down and let's eat. And so they sat down. He's from Jamaica, don't worry. Okay. Boy, I'll pay for that remark. He's sitting down. And they're eating because this is a place they're comfortable. Jesus will never leave you comfortable. He will never leave you comfortable. And they said, they're talking, and all of a sudden, they realize he's gone. And only in retrospect, they say, did not our hearts burn within us when he was with us? Most people call worship discovering Jesus was with them in the past. You only worship by your past testimonies. If you have to go back more than 2 weeks to define who you are, you're not walking with him. Does it bless you that I did some great things during the 80s in my life? Does it bless you in the 90s? I was killing it. No. Does it bless you in the 2000s? Ooh, I started a place called Hope. Well, see, that's in the past. I got like 3 claps. The only thing that made Pastor Corinne excited about tonight and me being here is she knew I would have something to say because I've been with Jesus. Come on, Minerva. How can your heart be bad? How can your attitude be bad? How can you be disappointed in life if you've been with Jesus? The world was going in a wrong direction, and all of a sudden, God said, "Walk into that mess." Thank you, fellas. In Acts 3:21, it says, "Jesus is held in the heavenlies until we make this earth his footstool." Yes, we have our responsibility. But he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even to the..." So that tells me clearly, John, James, that tells me clearly, he's not just in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's not just in us. He's with us. I'm going to tell you something, 2019, hope. Be ready for some encounters. Be ready for Jesus to show up. And when he shows up, there'll be some Sundays, there'll be some service. You know how Jesus is. He can just show up on Wednesday night. There's a story of 10 virgins, right? They call 5 wise and 5 foolish. Why did they call them foolish? Because they were not prepared for the encounter. They were not prepared for the encounter. So they missed the most powerful covenant ceremony that's ever been on earth because they weren't prepared. Somebody put your hand over your heart and say, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and tried and true. That's what I have to be. With thanksgiving. What? I'll be saint. If you're a sanctuary, Donnell, if you're a sanctuary, he always shows up at his sanctuary. So we see Colossians 1:27, I already told you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hebrews 13:2. I love this, buddy. I wanted to say this too. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide us into everything we do. Let me tell you what I think the Holy Spirit was for. Jesus came down and set the model, right? So that because of the Holy Spirit, Jesus can walk with everybody in their life every day. You go over and you listen to the testimonies that are coming out of China. Jesus is showing up 3,000 people in the same service. I mean, in different places. What did Jesus do on this 40 days after he was, after he had risen? Not risen, after he had come out of hell. Before he was resurrected. What did he do for 40 days? He not only met with the two men, two women. He met with Cephas. He met with the 12 disciples. I already told you about that. He met with 500 people in one gathering. It's in the Word of God. Because his nature is to be with his brothers and sisters. I said his nature. Why am I here tonight? I love to be with you. Acts chapter 2 says, verse 17, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons, your daughters shall prophesy. I believe 2019 is the year that you discover you were made for more. Now let's say that again. I believe in 2019, I will discover I was made for more. I'm just telling you something. I was made for more. Oh, I've done some powerful things, traveled all around the world, but that's nothing to 2019 because I was made for more. If Jesus is in my life, how can I not? Tonight, we go up that Mount of Transfiguration. How many of you realize the story? The Bible's just about stories. Jesus is always wanting to take you up someplace you've never been. He wants to show you how close the two worlds are. So he takes Peter, James, and John up this mountain. And when he gets up to the top of the mountain, he just starts glowing. His clothes are glowing. Everything's glowing. And Elijah and Moses just come. What's up, Jesus? Peter, James, John, they're. What? They're just going, let's just stay up here forever. Let's just stay up here forever. Let's build three churches. We'll just stay up here forever. This is incredible. And Jesus went with you. This is the way you're supposed to live. Whenever you're going through anything, follow Jesus up the mountain and watch your life and your circumstances get transfigured. And why? So you can go down the mountain and tell other people about it. Pastor Josh was about, I'm guessing he was about 14. The thing that happened in Knoxville, the van. He was about 14. They put Joan about 9, and they'd put Esther about 4 or 5. And I was driving in the middle of the night down 75, coming back home in Atlanta. We lived in Atlanta at that time. And late at night, when you pass Knoxville, there's no gas stations for maybe about 40 or 50 miles. And I looked down, and I had a high-top van. The children and Sonny were all asleep in the back. A high-top van pulling a 4x8 trailer behind it. And I looked down at the gas meter, and when I looked down there, it was on E. Really on E. And the exit, James, was right there. And so I couldn't afford, it was cold and it was raining. I couldn't afford to miss this exit. So I turned my van. And anybody that knows about high-top vans, they're very easy to turn over and they're very easy to flip. And when I turned over, the exit ramp went up like this. It went up about 50, what would be like a 30-story building. It went up straight up to the bridge. And the grade was like this. And when I did, I lost control of the van. And I only had time, Marco, to say one word. I only had my family. What should have happened is that thing rolled down and down and down. Over and over and over and over. My family could have all been killed. I just said, Jesus. And when I did, I know he took the wheel. I know that he took the wheel. I know he did. And that van went up on the side of that thing. And there were two. God is my witness. Steel poles. One was like here. And one was like here. And this was a huge... Somehow, Jesus drove it like this between those two poles. And it stopped. It was so teetering, I was afraid to open the door. That it would teeter and it would fall down. And I heard a voice that said to me, just back it up. And I put it in reverse. And I just started to back that thing up. My kids didn't even wake up. Can I tell you, when Jesus is at the wheel, when Jesus is with you, if he is for you, who can be against you? Jesus walks with me. When I say his name, he walks into my life. I backed it out. I backed it out, Anna, straight. The thing, and there were two tractor trailers stopped, and the drivers were sitting there just looking at me. And they said, that's impossible. Nobody could drive that. And I said, but Jesus did. Some of you think it's out of control right now. Let me tell you something. You're just one name away. You're just one name away. You're just one name away of saying, Jesus! Why he came to earth was that he could walk with you. So you could call his name. I know the spirit of this house. I know the way Pastor Josh, Pastor Corinne love you, how this ministry team loves you. You think you could cry out and they wouldn't show up? I've driven through hurricanes to be with some of you. I was here 2 weeks ago to bury Breanne, who used to be one of our little dancers, on her way to be a medical doctor. And I can tell you, in a situation like that, there are no words that work. What you need to do is show up with the love of Christ. You know what I found out in all the years that I pastored this powerful church? That a hug and telling somebody in their eyes, I love you, and Jesus loves you, is probably better than any message I'll ever preach. Because the Bible doesn't say God is revelation. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say God is signs and wonders. It says those things just follow you. There's one thing that the Bible says God is. God is love. Put your arm around somebody beside you and just say, I love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Say it to them. I love you. Jesus is with you. Alex and Mary, Jesus loves you. Tell five people, Jesus loves you. He's not just in you. When you go, Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. I close with this. Jesus is at a community spot, the well, everybody had to come. And I see a lady show up and she's beat up, Pastor Corinne, and she's battered. Can you imagine? She's not been through one abusive marriage. She's been through five. And it was already past them calling her a whore and a slut. And you're of no value, you're no good. And now she's living with the sixth guy. You feel any judgmentalism in Jesus? You see Jesus looking at her and go, what a mess you've made up of your life. And he said, can I have a drink? And she said, why would you even talk to me? This is what Jesus is saying to you tonight. He said, if you knew the water I had, if you knew what I have, you'd drink from this and you would never, ever thirst again. No, it's not a story in the Bible. It's tonight. It's tonight. This story is tonight. When he gets through with this woman, Pastor Josh, greatest evangelist in the New Testament, she goes running and she says, come see a man that told me everything. He told me everything. He transformed my life. He made me see things I had no hope till I looked in his eyes. And now, that's why, Pastor Josh, this is what Jesus did at offering time. Don't put it in an envelope. Let me see what you're giving. No, that's the truth. Because when the woman with the two mites, the two pennies came up, Jesus said, you've given more than them all. How could he say that? Because he knew what everybody had given. That's why next Monday, when you do this, Jesus is watching. That's all I have to say. Because let me tell you, you'll never outgive Jesus. You want Jesus to get involved in your life? Then wherever you are, act like he's there. That solves all behavior issues, David. All behavior issues solved with just that right there. Right? Right? We wore those bands and we kind of missed it. WWJD. The question, no, it should have said, what would you do if Jesus were here? Now there's the band. There's the bracelet. That's good, Anna. Let's do it. What would you do if Jesus were here? Today, I was coming out of a supermarket and parking lot, and there was a guy, Pastor Josh, actually with a big wooden cross in his back of his pickup truck. I'm talking about a cross like from me to you. He straps it down in his back, and somebody was beeping at him behind, and he was giving the finger to the person behind him for blowing at him with a cross in his trunk. We laugh, but how many times have you acted out? Wouldn't that change the way you argue with your wife? Oh, it got quiet in here right now. Wouldn't that change the way women you treat? Would the way you treat your children change if Jesus were there? Bow your heads. Man, it wasn't just that dance. That song is so anointed. Mary, did you know? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. The child that you delivered, listen to me, I'm talking to every parent in this room. The child that you delivered, you raise them upright, they'll soon deliver you. You think I'm not smart? God spoke to me, go take care of your parents in Atlanta. Because I can tell you, when I get old, I already sowed those seeds, baby. And you know what? Look at him. He's not laughing. Because if my life's in their hands, I know I'm with Jesus. Grab hands with somebody and say, I believe, I agree with you that Jesus is going to walk into my life every day. Every day. Jesus is going to walk into my life, into my family's life every day. Every day. Just repeat this prayer after me. Then I want you to hear this song in light of this message. Because we're not singing about somebody that's not here. Give me the face again. We're singing about him, D. He's here. Just say it. He's here. He's here, Marco. My little baby, he's here. He's here. I want you to say, Father, anything that stands between me, my destiny, and my Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Reach up and touch your eyes and say, I want to see Jesus. Again, I want to see Jesus. One last time. For if you look for him, Tiff, he'll be there. If you look for him, he'll be there. Mary, if you look for him, Gina, if you look for him, he'll be there.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.